remembered the promise the prince had made to him. I will trust in the promise of the prince. I will go to the castle, he said to himself. You ever been so afraid to do something? You were like, maybe I could hide so I don't have to do it. Jonathan went outside and got on his horse. This time, the day was bright with sunshine. There was no stormy clouds in the sky. Jonathan had no trouble making the journey to the castle. When he got there, he could see a crowd of people going in. Jonathan swallowed hard and walked inside to the place where he was to stand and preach. But just as soon as Jonathan took his position, Malice stood up and shouted, "May bad things happen to you, O priest. You are still wearing dirty clothes." Those mud-stained clothes. The king looked at Jonathan and frowned. "Why are you here again with dirty clothes?" The king asked, "I told you that you could not stand in front of me looking like this." Jonathan felt ashamed. His face turned red. He could not even answer the king. The people began to whisper. Some shouted loudly, "Go away." At that moment, someone came into the room. It was a man dressed in a scratchy brown robe, exactly like the robe Jonathan wore under his special clothes. The man was carrying a present under his arm. At first, no one recognized the stranger. Then someone shouted, "It's the great prince." Malice didn't know what to think. He asked, "What is the meaning of this? Why are you here, and why are you wearing that itchy robe?" The prince did not understand. He was smiling as he walked to the front of the room and stood next to Jonathan. Sorry, not the prince did not understand. The prince did not answer. He was smiling as he walked to the front of the room and stood next to Jonathan. Then the prince handed Jonathan the present and told him to open it. You like presents? Yes. Me too. Everyone watched Jonathan as he carefully opened the gift the prince had given to him. Jonathan's eyes grew wide when he saw what it was. It was the perfect present. Inside were the beautiful clothes that belonged to the prince. The prince smiled again at Jonathan and said, "These are the clean clothes I promised you. They are yours forever. They will never wear out. There is not a spot of dirt on them, and nothing can make them dirty. They are perfect for you." I want to read one thing again. "They are yours forever. They will never wear out. There is not a spot of dirt on them, and nothing can make them dirty. They are perfect for you." Then the prince said to Jonathan, "Take off your dirty clothes and give them to me." Jonathan took off his dirty clothes and gave them to the prince, and the prince put them on himself. Next, the prince said, "Put on my clothes and preach your sermon." Jonathan's hands shook as he put on the prince's beautiful clothes. When Jonathan was dressed, the prince said to the king, "Father, may Jonathan now stand in your presence. He is one of my people." The king was pleased. He said to the prince, "Yes, my son, as long as he wears your clothes, he may stand in front of me." Jonathan was filled with joy. "How can I ever thank you for being so kind to me?" he asked the prince. The prince said, "If you are really thankful, and if you want to show that you love me, then keep all my commandments that I give to you." "Oh, I will," Jonathan said. "I want to be good enough to wear your clothes." "But you cannot be good enough, Jonathan. You must live your whole life trusting in my goodness while you wear my clothes." On that day, Jonathan preached his best sermon ever, and he spent the rest of this life preaching about the great prince. He wore the prince's perfect present until the day he died. Grandpa turned to Darby and Campbell and said, "That is the end of my story. Did you like it? Did you like it?" "Yeah, be honest." "Oh yes," the children replied. "Do you think that if we could find the great prince, that he would give us clean clothes too?" "Yes," Grandpa answered. He gives clean clothes to everyone who believes in him, but they are not clothes like the ones you ruined today. The great prince gives new clothes for your hearts, for each of our hearts. There's some clothes blown in the wind. There we go. The dirt that we get on the clothes can sometimes be washed away, but we have a bigger problem. Does anyone know the problem? When we sin and do wrong, our hearts become so dirty that we cannot stand in front of God. For us to be able to be friends with God, we need to have the dirt on our hearts cleaned away. That is what Jesus does for us. He forgives us by taking the dirt from our hearts and putting it on himself. Just like the great prince took Jonathan's dirty clothes and wore them. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see the dirt on our hearts. Instead, he sees the heart covered by his son's clean clothes. If you trust in Jesus and believe his word, your heart will be clean. Jesus will forgive you when you sin. But you have to ask him to forgive you. Then he cleans your heart. And you can stand in front of God forever. I'm sorry, we got mud on our clothes, but I'm glad we heard the story about the great prince, Darby said. With a hug, her mother said, yes, it is a story we all need to hear and remember. Before I stop there, I just have a couple questions for everyone too, if you want to answer. But who does the king represent? Any ideas? God? Yes. Who does the prince represent?
Jesus.
Yes. Does everyone agree? Yeah. Yeah? Who does malice represent?
Malice.
Yeah. Satan. Yeah. Who do you think Jonathan is? The priest.
The priest?
The one with dirty clothes.
An angel?
No. Keep going. Oh, I see you pointing to yourself. Yes, it's representing us, all Christians. Good job. If you want to go back to your parents, you're welcome to go. I'm going to talk a little bit more from the front. Thanks for coming. I think that everyone is getting the gist of what was coming across in this story. Hopefully. Does everyone see the point? I seen like three heads sort of nod. Oh, wait, there we go. Yeah. I love this story, and the reason that I love this story, and the reason that I thought and sought to do such a thing as this, and my kids were included, my wife to do and direct it this way, because I wanted to bring across the point of what this Advent is about and how we are in one another's lives and should be involved in one another's lives. And this Advent season is to remind us of what Christ has done for us and is still completing and doing for us, and how he covers us with his vestments. He is the one who is our covering. We can do nothing in order to gain. I do want to give a little recap, a short one, of these Advents. The first one we had was hope, if you remember, and Rachel and I brought again dark to light. Darkness and light comes. The life and the light of God is brought to light amongst a dark world. The next one, if you remember, was peace when we lit the candle, and again this morning we lit them all four now, but peace. Peace is found in God and through Christ. If you notice throughout that whole piece, with Jeff and Jacqueline, or this is something that I noticed, and I hope you did too, and I know others mentioned it to me too, was the prayer tree that was done and drawn. I can't remember who drew it in the family when you guys put it up there, but the concept of it was the leaves that were there, and the prayers were those leaves that went on the tree. And it's a good reminder, because we need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. And time with family and Scripture was another thing that was brought out to matter within the Hansen's life and for us to be reminded of. Joy as well, we had shared with us, Earl and Donna, as well Eva. But Earl and Donna, something that I got from it was joy in life. They brought laughter. They brought joy to us. But they were joyful in the life that God has given them and is still giving them, with a birthday coming really soon for one of them. And as well, when Eva was sharing with us, she brought out a story of the Christmas season, a Christmas longing, as Joni Erickson Tada would say, Maranatha, come, Jesus, come. So a hope for the future is what we should be hoping in and longing after. So hope, peace, joy, and now we were brought with love. When you sit together so tightly on a couch, you become very close. And when Jesus sat with his disciples, they would have sat shoulder to shoulder when they spent time in communion together, when they shared together the Passover. Shoulder to shoulder is the representation that is pointed out there. And we should long to be together, to love one another and care for one another. And he is our covering. It was the whole part of this. Christ come at a perfect time, just as this, to be our covering. With our dirtiness that is brought out in his light coming now at this season. We see our sin when we see the light. We know that we've seen the light because we see our sin and we want to come to the light. So through the love of God, we find hope, we find peace, and we find joy in love. In the beginning of John, we saw the light. And when we read through that, and we were studying through that together, but we saw the light that did come. And it paints a beautiful picture of the beginning of time and now. And then when you see the story and read through the stories in the Gospels, in the beginning of the Gospels, I love reading through them. I was listening to them, just listening to them, letting them play last night for a little bit too, and being reminded of the different representations in the beginning of the Gospels and what is drawn from them and what each one wanted to present for the glory of God and to the glory of God. But in the beginning of Matthew, as I'm flipping there, as we get there, just think about what a wonderful time and what a scary time at the same time it would have been for Joseph and for Mary as they were going to bring their names and as they were not certain of what was going to be happening next. But they knew that Mary was bearing the Son of God. And it wasn't through the physical abilities of man that she was going, that she had the baby that was within her. It was through the Spirit of God that that baby was even formed in her womb. And that is one of the biggest pictures, I think, within this, is that we need to remember with the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to read it to you. Matthew 1. 18. I'm just going to, not the whole thing, but Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." And then remember afterwards, we have Joseph then too. He's pondering on this stuff. How is she married? I'm betrothed to her and she's now with child. And he's questioning, wondering what's going on. How is she in such a form as this? And he wants to do it quietly to disperse of her, to not marry her, because if she's been with someone else, he's not longing after that she's with child in that way. But the Spirit then reveals the revelation of God to him through an angel. Right? When you read in verse 20, "But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I can't even imagine being in this whole scenario when I think about this. And when I think about this time of year, this is what we're to be reminded of, is how God is able to complete what is not even possible in our own minds. He is beyond anything that he is beyond. He is and always was and always will be. And he has given us the opportunity through Christ to come to the glory of God and to be in his presence all the time and to rejoice. Then we have the whole Christmas story that we lay out all the time. But within that, I want you to be reminded of 2 Corinthians. And then we will hear another special. And then we will sing together. But there's something within this verse. Well, it's written by the Spirit of God, with first of all. But in 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone on our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." When we have come to the light, we've seen the face of God through the face of Christ, and we can stand before God and rejoice, even though we may not be right before him right now, but we've tasted just a bit of it through the work of Christ and the completion of Christ in his death and resurrection. This is a joyous time. This is truly an Advent, his coming. We rejoice in his second coming, but we remember his first coming and death and resurrection so that we can have joy in his second coming, when he will be fully completed and glorified, and we will then be glorified in new heavenly bodies. Let us pray, and then we're going to hear another special and another song. Father, I just thank you that we were able to be here this morning in such a way as this. I thank you for each person here, all ages, all groups, all different backgrounds of life. And what a blessing it is that we can be together and to glorify your name. I thank you, Father, that we were able to have this story here today, to know that you, Jesus Christ, have become our covering. That when you, God, the true Father, look at us, you are pleased because of your servant. And Father, what a blessing it is that you cover our heart, that you give us new soft hearts, that you cleanse us and complete us. And Father, we battle still in this time, but we know that the flesh has not overcome us because we have died and risen again new. We have been reborn when we have come to believe in the work of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone here today that is questioning, if there's anyone here today that is uncertain and not knowing if they have eternal life, that they would cry out to you, Lord, that they would be renewed and made new by believing in the work of Christ. And Father, maybe there are some of us here today too that have been doing this Christian walk for so many years, have grown up in the church and think, I'm saved because I've always been in here. I'm good. That you would soften their heart and that you would show them the light. Show them that there is nothing we can do to come to you and to be completed by you, but to believe in you, to have faith, and to know the love of a God that is the only true God. Just bless us this season and all the seasons to come. Help us in our trials and tribulations. And help us to bless others and always remind us to be thankful of the many blessings that you put in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
How low was our Redeemer brought? Jesus' name.